We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joe's in.
Mr. Biden.
Joe's in. No surprise.
A large and growing field, but he's the apparent front runner already.
And he released this morning a statement about his candidacy in an emotional and impassioned video. You got to take a look at this, right?
Yeah.
This is what it sounded like. I won't play the whole thing, but he is talking about the incident in Charlottesville where the neo-Nazis marched and then murdered a young woman who was a protester.
And that's when we heard the words of the President of the United States that stunned the world and shocked the conscience of this nation. He said there were, quote, some very fine people on both sides. Very fine people on both sides? With those words, the President of the United States assigned a moral equivalence between those spreading hate and those with the courage to stand against it. We can't forget what happened in Charlottesville. Even more important, we have to remember who we are. This is America.
It was impassioned and patriotic and tugged at the heartstrings because everybody hates Nazis, right? No one's on the side of Nazis, I guess, except the Nazis, right?
I don't run into a lot of pro-Nazi people day in and day out.
I'm glad you don't.
Thank God.
I'm glad. And they are not our moral equivalency. They are beasts.
We talked about this earlier. Compared to some of the other candidates running on the Democrat side, I find Joe Biden wonderfully normal.
He's currently the front runner. He's beating, at least in early polling as of this morning, you know, he's a couple of percentage points above even Bernie. So I would say he's definitely the front runner. And so you're saying from the other side of the aisle, as someone who has voted Republican in the past.
He strikes me as normal and more of a centrist. And I think the question I have, the question many have, what kind of Democrat is he going to be? Is he going to be more of a centrist? You know, trying to appeal maybe to disaffected Republicans, people in the middle, independents, or is he going to go hard left and go after the, you know, Rashid Tlaib, Omar crowd and advocating for policies that make a lot of, I think, even Democrats a little uncomfortable.
So the question is Joe Biden the best hope the Democrats have of beating President Trump in the next election? Or is there no hope? 651-989-9226 is our phone number. You voting for Joe?
I just hope. I mean, I know the low-hanging fruit is going after the president.
Sure, and that's what he was doing
today. And
that's
what he did
running
this morning.
Yes.
I think my hunch, and nobody's calling me for my opinion.
I am.
No.
Our callers might.
I doubt it. But I hope if Joe has a prayer, I think he needs to paint a picture. He needs to have a vision. Don't just pick at the president. Show what are you going to do? What do you stand for? What are you going to do better? How are Americans, more Americans, going to benefit if you're president? What are you doing for the middle class? How do you address income inequality and the tech, you know, revolution that's going on? So many businesses being disrupted. What are you going to do so that people can have lifelong retraining? So that everybody can achieve the American dream. Show us your vision.
And we haven't heard that yet.
Don't just throw, you know, epithets. And again, I just hope he gets some good advice from his advisors. Paint a picture. What's America going to be like in Joe Biden's America?
And I'm looking forward to hearing what Joe has to say about that.
Yeah.
You know, are you a Medicare for all person or are you now let's go back to Obamacare and fix that? Yes, we have a lot to hear from Joe Biden that we haven't heard from. But in my humble opinion, and because this is a talk show, we give each other's opinions. And
is that what this is?
We listen to yours at 651-989-9226. Joe's best hope is to stay in the middle of the Democratic Party. because the Green New Deal folks, the AOCs, the Rashida Tlaibs, the Ilhan Omar followers are never going to vote Republican. So they're going to vote Democrat no matter what. OK, that's going to happen. And now that Bernie's not an independent, he's a Democrat. They're going to vote Democrat. So what Joe has to do is pull those folks away from the Trump voters who maybe voted for him in 2016, but are now really disillusioned with what they got. I don't judge people for voting for change. That's fine. But maybe some of those voters say, you know what? I'm not a fan anymore. But there's no way I'm voting for Bernie or Elizabeth Warren.
Right.
So give me a centrist candidate. And I wish Amy were that person, but she's not even rating. Not even in the numbers.
Isn't she 2%?
Is she?
I think she's 2%. Okay. But that's the last poll I saw. Goodness. Maybe it's better. I don't know.
But give me somebody in the middle that I can at least, okay, that person can steer the ship. You know, we're not going off the left deep end. We're not going to the right deep end. It's somebody who's not Trump, if you're not a fan. Just somebody who will restore some sanity, restore some morality, restore some, you know, some grace to the office. I think Joe Biden might be a person that they can get on board with, at least from what I see from the current field.
Some of the stuff that Bernie is saying now, I just shake my head.
That the bombers, the
convicted felons should have the right to vote. No, I'm
violent
sorry.
Offenders.
You lost that right.
And
you committed a crime. I'm sorry. No, you should have thought of that. Actions have consequences.
Well, all convicted felons or just violent offenders?
Well, certainly violent offenders.
Correct. Because what Bernie was saying that got him in trouble is that the
Tsarnaev Marathon,
brother that's still alive, the Boston bomber, should be allowed to vote.
Right.
Which, again, Bernie, if I even had a thought in my mind of voting for you, that I'm not anymore. What are you doing, Bernie? Now you're just turning people away. But again, now that's better for the centrist that might be more Joe Biden-esque.
Look, the president tapped into a very significant disaffected part of the United States, right? Call it flyover country.
Yes,
liberals
did.
On either coast couldn't or wouldn't acknowledge that a big chunk of Americans were like, hey, what about me? Hey, somehow success has leapfrogged right over us in our town, mm-hmm. and we haven't had the opportunity. So President Trump spoke to those people, and we'll see if Joe Biden can come up with a narrative that appeals to people not only on the left but in the center and even center right, you know, who may like a lot of what Joe has to stand for. So
we'll see.
He is the front runner, and. But again, suspend your disbelief. I want to see what he says.
That's right. Show me your plan for health care. Right. Show me your plan for lowering drug costs. Show me your plan for immigration. Show me the money, Joe.
Yeah. So stay tuned.
It's also 3:18. When we return, Sue Zelixon is joining us. A little fun, a little food, a little philanthropy. Next. A little fun, a little goodness, a little food and philanthropy. That's why we invite Sue Zelixon to join us on the final Thursday of every month.
She always brightens our day. Hurricane Sue, how the heck are you?
Oh, we don't want a hurricane. We don't even want a snowfall, right?
No, we don't. Amen to that.
Your paper, Paul, was absolutely fabulous. I mean, every time, you just have to laugh when you're talking about the weather the way you do.
I'm as despondent as everybody else. But thankfully, it's going south. We may get an inch of slush, Sue, so no panic.
Hope to. Well, I love you guys. You're the eyes and the ears of the world. Your last comments about the election and everything else, it keeps us all going. And we just have to comment on what a wonderful state we have, because every week or every month I get to tell you all the wonderful foundations that we're helping around the Twin Cities and around our state and supporting the arts, the illnesses, and the needs of the local people. It's so heartwarming. So whatever the weather is, we can do a good deed. And
you have quite a list for us this week,
Sue. Most of the people have to be going on our website, right, to see it all. But
I will post all of it on the Paul and Jordana Facebook page, because we're not going to get through the three pages that you sent me. But what are the highlights, Sue?
Well, one of the highlights is always supporting cancer. And, you know, the Dawn of the Dream had been going on for years at CCRF. In fact, I don't remember how many years now, but I think it's their 9th or 10th or even 25th. But Michelle Tavoya is going to host the event coming up this Saturday, the 27th, and it's going to be a celebration of all the successes services that the CCRF DreamWork has done for eliminating childhood cancer. Nice. So I hope people will go and go to childhoodcancer.org, and I'm sure there's a few places called Dream, put Dream first, that mm-hmm. they can get to go to the dinner and the concert and help stamp out childhood cancer.
Dream.childhoodcancer.org. Okay. I will, again, put it on the Paul and Jordana Facebook site.
Fabulous. And then there's a black and white teal gala for ovarian cancer. That's called MOCA, and that's on April 27th. There's a lot going on this Saturday.
Yeah.
You could hop to hop to different organizations that are doing good. And this is to benefit the Ovarian Cancer Alliance. And there's a cocktail reception and a silent auction and all that. And it supports women and families impacted by ovarian cancer. So that's MNOvarian.org.
In fact, I think WCCO-TV's Kim Johnson is the MC
right,
for that.
You're right, absolutely. CCO is all over the place helping, right? In fact, they're doing even more every day.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Savor the Flavor, which is something dear to my heart, because U.S. Foods came to us, the distributor of food to all our wonderful restaurants, and they're putting on an event on Tuesday, April 30th, and that's going to be at ARIA, that wonderful event center downtown Minneapolis.
Oh, yeah, it's terrific.
A celebration of food, music, art, and giving back. And so a wonderful culinary crowd. A lot of chefs will be cooking. There'll be music and art and giving back to the Perspectives Family Center Kids Cafe and also to Fighting Chance Boxing Club, which helps youth learn a skill to keep them off the streets and doing good things and getting involved in sports. And there's going to be musical guests and everything else. And that's Savor the Flavor Min. brownpapertickets.com. So that's another one. And then we can skip a little bit further to May 1st. Can we talk a little bit about May?
Sure, of course.
The Minnetonka Country Club is going to be the place where they're having their first Proof Alliance, formerly MOFAS. And this is the Minnesota Organization of Fetal Alcohol Syndrome. Yeah. It's a new organization name, but it's the same thing. It's to prevent exposure to alcohol and helping people with fetal alcohol spectrum disorders. So this one hits both adults and children and future children. So it's May 1st, and it's going to be at the Minnetonka Country Club, and that's proofalliance.org. That's one that I'm going to be going to as well. The last two, I just want to go to as many as I can because we support, as I said, the arts, the illnesses, and the local needs of our people in the Twin Cities so well. We should be very proud of all that.
During event season, Sue needs her own assigned Uber or some chauffeur to drive her to all of these events.
Driving Miss Daisy.
She's
then there's
everywhere.
A wonderful thing going on with the kids now, too. Local Junior Iron Chef. This is the second or third year. No, it's the fifth year of the Iron Chef competition in Minneapolis, put on by the Minneapolis Public Schools Culinary and Wellness Services. The kids are eating healthier in the schools. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if you found that with your kids. But
yeah, because they're complaining about it.
Yeah, that's what's healthy. No desserts, that's right.
Right.
Well, this is going to have Splendid Tables, Lynn Rosetta Casper, and Weekly Dishes, Stephanie Hansen are participating. And the chefs are Justin Sutherland and Chris Gerster and Carrie McCabe and Andrew Young and Tammy Wong and Jared Burrington. All these chefs work with the kids, and they have to create a recipe, and the winning recipe will be served in the public schools the next coming year.
Mm.
So it's an exciting thing, and they it's just a really good. This is going to be at Solar Arts, and people can come and watch and taste as well. And that's at Chow Girls Solar Arts on Northeast 15th in Northeast Minneapolis. And I think we've got a telephone number for this one if people want to come.
Yeah, I put it up on the CCO
Perfect.
Facebook site.
That's
but that
good.
Is so fun. I tell you, kids now, they watch all these cooking shows on TV.
Right.
And they're amazing what they can do in the kitchen.
They are. You know, when we need more chefs. So I can't tell you how often I talk to the restaurateurs, and they say, we need these kids to learn how to cook better. And there are so many young ones that really are taking to it because of the TV and these contests as well. Are your kids cooking?
Yeah, they do. I call Maddox
yep.
I call him from the elevator when I'm going home. I said, okay, prep the dinner, get everything ready. He does it. It's
That's
great.
Perfect. All right, I'm going to line him up with a restaurant as soon as he's ready.
Put him to work.
That would be great. Well, I just hope that people will take part in all these things because it's our chance to give back. So many of us are so fortunate to be able to put food on our table and feel good and not have illnesses, and we've got to help those that are in need. And I just one other thing. There's going to be really fun thing that the Arboretum is doing. They're doing plant mobiles where they're sending plant mobiles like, you know, carts or whatever out to schools to teach the kids over 10 years old how to plant gardens to grow their own food.
That's fantastic.
Isn't that a good idea?
Nothing's better than having, you know, new fresh tomatoes or peppers, things that you've grown that you make a salad with.
That's tastes extra good.
So satisfying.
If you get too many, you just put a stand out in front of your house and sell like the farmers used to do before we had all the farmers markets, which leads me to the point. Good segue that all the farmers markets are opening up this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
This weekend, really?
Yes.
Support your local vendors.
Well, we got to go, Sue.
Exactly. And then start cooking with all that good food.
Thank you, Sue.
You're the best.
Thank
Sue Zelickson,
so
out and about. If you see her, hug her, with permission, by the way. And I'll see you at a couple events this weekend, Sue.
That's
you know what's
great,
interesting?
Honey. Okay, thanks.
Thanks,
so much.
Honey.
See you,
bye
Sue.
Bye.
Talking about, we become a nation of foodies. Our expectations are much higher.
Mm-hmm.
My boys, whenever I would come home, and when they were home, the TV would be tuned to ESPN. Now, when I get home and I watch the TV, it's set to the Food Channel.
Yep.
And they actually get ideas, and they I think they're a little competitive now in terms of who's the better cook.
Good for them.
So it's kind of cool. Oh, I want to mention one more thing, not to try to outdo Sue Zelickson, because nobody can. The Pinky Swear Gala is tomorrow at the Great Northern at the Renaissance Minneapolis, the Old Depot.
Mm-hmm.
And that raises money for kids with cancer and their financial and emotional support. Last year, the Pinky Swear Gala was canceled because of a blizzard, the 16
Crazy.
Inches of snow.
Crazy.
So I'm happy that, and by the way, it's Saturday. It's not tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's Saturday from
night,
6
yeah.
to 11. There may still be some tickets available. If you have a chance, check out the Pinky Swear Gala. And Eric Perkins at Care 11 is going to be emceeing it. I'm just going to sit back and have a second glass of wine.
It used to be Miracles for Mitch.
Yep.
And we know Mitch's parents. They're friends of the show. Good people. So thank you for that.
So many worthy things.
I'll be at the Feast of Giving for Children this Saturday night.
Wow.
See, the list goes on.
Yep.
Sue didn't even have the whole list. We got it all. It's 3:30. When we return, Travis Yates. Travis is the director of training for law officers and a commander with the Tulsa Police Department. Let's talk about warrior training. Why is it? And why does the mayor say no go in Minneapolis?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
When you're conditioned to believe that every person encountered poses a threat to your existence, you simply cannot be expected to build out meaningful relationships with those same people.
That was Mayor Jacob Frey saying that Minneapolis police officers are banned from doing fear-based training. He's gotten some pushback by Bob Kroll, the president of the union, who is now, there is another company offering free training to police officers that want to take it. Person involved in that free training is Travis Yates. He is the director of training for law officers and a commander with the Tulsa Police Department, and he's joining us on the line right now. Travis, thank you for joining us.
Hey, Travis.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
So is it your organization that is offering the training to our police officers here in Minneapolis?
It is. I'm the director of training and also the editor-in-chief there at lawofficer.com.
Can you define for us what is warrior training?
Well, I think that's what is really upsetting, I think, most to me, is a politician doesn't get to take over that word warrior and rephrase it and change the narrative. Warrior training has been around for everybody, including citizens and fathers and police officers and you name it, for many, many years. And the definition of that is an all-encompassing training. It deals with taking care of others, protecting others, protecting yourself. It deals with discipline and bravery and integrity and character. It deals with using the least amount of force that you have to use. It deals with de-escalation. That's what warriors do. Warrior isn't about violence. Warriors are about protecting people with the least amount of violence. And I think what is so upsetting is what the mayor described as warrior training doesn't even exist. He said that training where you fear everybody. Listen, guys, I've been in law enforcement 26 years. I've taken training for that long and more. I've been to 48 states, three countries, trained thousands of police officers. That training simply doesn't exist. And so politicians love to throw some catchphrases out there, throw some sound bites out there, and try to change the narrative to the public. The public needs to understand that that training that he describes doesn't exist. So you can't take warrior training and plump it into something that quite simply just is a complete and fabricated lie.
Travis, the training, and correct me if I'm wrong, covers officer survival. You mentioned de-escalation And this is designed to ensure that officers return home every day to their family, regardless of the dangers they face and the ignorance of some politicians. So the reality many times, it sounds like, being a police officer facing innumerable threats, many times that gets glossed over or sugarcoated, right? The bottom line is making sure that our police officers stay safe as well, right?
I certainly hope your citizens want your police officers to go home, because if they don't go home, that means bad guys are winning in your city. And so, you know, law enforcement training, our philosophy here at Law Officer is we want to give officers something every single day that helps them be a better police officer. So that, yes, that involves officer survival tactics. It involves technology. It involves leadership. It involves health and fitness, de-escalation. It's a wide variety of training, and all that's encompassing. And any good training program, call it what you want, call it warrior training, call it whatever. I think it's really unfortunate that people are getting stuck on this name, because Minneapolis police officers have been to our training around the state. They're in Minneapolis. They've been there many times. They pay their own way. And I just think that, and from the emails we've gotten, those officers are thirsty for training. They're thirsty for good quality training. Now, granted, not all law enforcement training is created equal, but this training that this mayor talks about, he literally is making that up. My question would be, why are you saying that?
Well, I think
did
I have
the training.
I think
was
I can
there,
give
was
you the
a witness to that.
I think I can give you the answer, Travis. I think the mayor is really concerned about this training that a specific person, that David Grossman, does. And you're probably familiar with David Grossman training. He's former military. He's trained tens of thousands of local police organizations around the world. He's quoted the term killology, and which is a field that he invented. And he tends to believe, because I've watched some of his trainings, that all police violence is justified, and encourages trainees to shoot the second they feel that they are in danger. Now, this is the same training that Officer Geronimo Yanez went to. And here locally, we know Officer Yanez because he is the person who shot Philando Castile.
Who grabbed a gun.
Well, there's no evidence that Philando Castile grabbed a gun, ever.
The jury seemed to think so. Well, I wasn't on the jury, but the jury that got the evidence seemed to think so.
There's no evidence of that, and we're a little off track. So you say that you don't know where Mayor Frey is coming from. This is where he's coming from the David Grossman training. And nobody, we asked the Minneapolis police to join us today. We don't know if they have gone through the David Grossman training, but we at least know that other police here have. And I think that's the kind of training that he's worried about.
Well, I'm not here to defend Dave Grossman, but I can tell you, I don't know what part of training you've been to, but I've been to six of Dave Grossman's seminars, and he never has once said any of those things that you said. If the mayor doesn't want his officers to go to Dave Grossman training, then he should have said that. But encompassing law enforcement warrior training and then having this vague description of it and giving a wrong description of it. By the way, Dave Grossman has never said everybody's a threat. I know Dave Grossman very well. I've been in law enforcement training for almost 20 years, so Dave and I run around the same circles. I think it's pretty unfortunate that if you want to take that stance on a particular person's training, did you go to the training? Have you reviewed the training? Have you seen the training? I mean, 3 or 4 minute sound bites probably isn't what you need to look at. You need to actually attend the training. So that doesn't give me a lot of confidence when other training comes up that they're going to be able to make the correct decision. And the thing that concerns me more than anything, and my concern is with the police officers, is this almost puts a chilled effect on them trying to get training. I mean, if they watch a YouTube video, do they have to get permission? If they watch our training, are they having to get permission? I mean, what if they run across training almost by accident, read an article? I mean, so it almost tells these officers, you are not to do anything else other than what we give you. And I think that's pretty unfortunate, because obviously I think you would agree officers need more training rather than less training.
I would definitely agree with that.
Travis, this whole push that Minneapolis seems to be moving toward, that it's more of a guardian-oriented tactic. So focusing on de-escalation, deadly force is a last resort. Is the concern, your concern, the concern of many, that this can lead to officers letting their guard down prematurely and increasing the risk to them?
Well, this guardian versus warrior training is, once again, a terminology made up by politicians.
Okay.
It's kind of funny when you look up the word guardian. I would encourage all of your audience to Google that later. I did that right before this interview. Guardian means protect and defend others. That sounds awful like officer survival training and officer safety training and warrior-style training to me. The terminologies are really one and the same. But people have thrown those terms around really unfortunately. all police officers are guardians. All police officers are warriors. The vast majority of our job is to take care of people, to keep the peace. And unfortunately, there are seconds in our career where we have to sometimes use force. It's not often, but you need to be prepared to do that when it happens. And so I think, unfortunately, Minneapolis has taken some high-profile shootings, some tragic, one possibly even criminal, others justified, and basically lump that into this overall issue. I think it's natural people want to blame somebody or something, but I think what the mayor did was unfortunate because it just literally took this terminology and just turned it on its head, and it's making police officers think they can't go get training. I think that has to be rectified. They have to correct that because you should see the emails I'm getting from those officers. They are scared to death to work in that city, and they don't need to be working scared in that environment. And they're not scared of the criminals. You guys got to understand this. They're scared of the people they're working for.
Would you forward us some of those emails? I would be interested to see some of those as well.
Now, you know I can't do that. I've got confidence in these officers to send me these emails.
But Travis, just to reiterate what you just said, I don't want to bury the lead. You're getting emails from Minneapolis police officers who are concerned?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I spent the last 3 days filling emails from Minneapolis police officers. When they heard about the training, they're thirsty for it, and some of them have shared with me their extreme concerns with what's going on there in the city. And, you know, I've got to admit, guys, and I appreciate you having me on, I don't have all the specific details about Minneapolis. Obviously, it's your city. It's not mine. But I know cops, and I speak to cops all over the country. I was speaking to cops in Seattle just a few weeks ago. I know cops when they're concerned, when their job's impacted, when they feel like they don't have support. And I know that's not generally a safe environment for them to be in when they don't feel that support.
I just want to clear something up that Mayor Fry has said. We have adopted this new policy because proper training on use of force and de-escalation is paramount importance. Now, that means proper training. So Mayor Fry in no way, shape, or form ever told officers that they should not have training. He just feels that the training should be different.
So is it the definition of what is proper training?
So officers in our city, fellow residents of Minneapolis, can have all the training they want. It's just not deemed what this warrior training is. I would never want to spread misinformation on WCCO radio thinking that the Minneapolis police officers will receive no training. Their training will just be different.
Well, if that's the case and that's what he believes in, then there should be no problem because what he defined as warrior training doesn't exist. There is no training that says everybody's a danger. Now, there is training that says that people's behavior are dangerous. People that act a certain way are dangerous to law enforcement. But people in general and everybody's a danger, that's how he described it. And that just simply doesn't exist. And if that's the case, then the officers should have no fear of being disciplined for taking really any training they want because the training that mayor described does not exist in American law enforcement. Hey, and if it does, I'm more than welcome to hear people out. Send me an email. Let me know. If you received training that told you that, let me know. But I have no idea where he garnered that terminology at.
Travis, what is your website down there?
Lawofficer.com.
Lawofficer.com.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Travis Yates, he's the director of training and law officer and a commander with the Tulsa Police Department. Travis, we appreciate you coming on the show today.
Yeah, thank you, Travis.
Hey, thank you guys so much.
You bet.
I just want to leave you today with some sound that I recorded from Craig Atkinson. Craig Atkinson did a documentary on warrior training, and this was some of the sound from David Grossman's techniques that we know Philando Castile went to earlier. This is some sound from that training.
I grew up in a law enforcement family. Maybe there was a day when if a man was asked for an ass whooping, it's a cop's job to give it to him. Well, that day is gone. If it ever existed, it's gone today. Once you've made the decision to take a human life, you're a transformed creature, you're a predator. What does a predator do? They kill. Only a killer can hunt a killer. Are you emotionally, spiritually, psychologically prepared to snuff out a human life in defense of innocent lives? If you can't make that decision, you need to find another job.
Okay, Paul here, it's 3:49. That's Wicks and Jewelers time. If you're searching for a truly exceptional diamond, then you don't want to miss the diamond event at Wicks and Jewelers on May 3rd and May 4th.
Lively conversation with Travis Yates, who is doing some training at the Minneapolis Police Department, the free training that the union is providing for the officers. And we are, I did speak earlier today with a person who runs a company called Mindful Badge. And he is somebody who is a former police officer, former badge, and former sworn officer. And he now runs a company that trains police officers with a little less emphasis on the warrior. So the kind of training that Mayor Fry is talking about, again, I don't know that he's going to Mindful. I don't know that our officers are going to go to Mindful Badge. But Mindful Badge does that kind of training, focuses on humanity, resiliency, community, compassion, awareness, performance, and, of course, protection for the officers, because that is the goal. But we are he's in training all week, so we're hoping to get him on the air tomorrow at this time.
Sure, we value our freedom in this country. I found a story today that made me do a triple take. One of China's biggest exports is surveillance technology, tracking not only their citizens, but providing technology to other countries that want to track their citizens. This was in The Hustle. 18 countries, Ecuador, Zimbabwe, Uzbekistan, Pakistan, Kenya, and Germany, use intelligent surveillance systems to monitor their systems. Artificial intelligence, facial technology, all these systems are made in China. In the last decade, China has become the surveillance capital of the world, watching citizens from tens of millions of cameras and billions, with a B, billions of travel, internet, and business records. Now the government has found a way to make the technology more affordable to market to other countries. The future will be about controlling the masses through technology. Beijing even offers loans to governments that can't afford surveillance systems.
Gee, thanks.
So no country has to ever suffer the hardships of an under-surveilled state.
We'll give you the money to buy our technology so you can spy on your citizens. Thanks, China.
So, again, it's a slippery slope. I see no evidence that America is going to go that direction. But, boy, there are a lot of cameras out there. When you're out in public, you have no assumption of privacy, right?
I always feel like somebody's watching.
Yeah, it's good to be paranoid.
You have to pull that song, Dan. No. You know I'm pulling that song.
Just because you're not paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. What's coming up? 410,
when
Gail.
When we get back, something happy. Yes, yeah. Gail Rosenblum is going to join us with stories from the Inspired column. But I have got to get to the edit bay and find that song. I always feel like somebody's watching me.
I can turn off your microphone, you know.
Would you?
We'll see after the news.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.